Madam Chair.
Yes.
Before we go on to old business, whatever kind of business it is, I have had a couple of comments from people.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. This is Val. I can't hear. Sorry.
We are starting.
We are reconvening. So if anyone wants to have conversations that don't have to do with the meeting, please go elsewhere. Thank you.
I've had a couple of comments from people that were wondering about the quote-unquote old business and wondering if that these are just comments that they're not coming from me, they're coming from other people. But wondering if we really needed to go, you know, do the web site.
I'm still having trouble hearing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, the web, you know, update and the Friends of the Commission update and the rail on the vending machines update and all of the various things that we usually do. I heard comments about that it's the same old thing over and over again, and they wondering if that's all necessary. I'm just throwing that out because I have had comments.
I would tend to agree with that, actually. But there's nothing new. No, you have him on the agenda.
Well, I think that could just probably be said, nothing new, and move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, the reason, I mean, we have actually talked about this previously, and the reason that a lot of those things stay there is so that when there is something new, we have a spot for it. Also, there are some things, you know, our meetings aren't really to entertain either us or anybody else. They are to keep our finger on the pulse of what's going on. And a lot of these things are always going on. And one of the ways that things get unattended to, you know, in my experience, has been if they are thought to be, well, you know, maybe we don't need anything, you know, to do with this. And pretty soon, before you know it, either the board wouldn't have the information that it needs to even make a reasonable decision about something, or the thing that is overlooked or not being kept a finger on just kind of fades away or really isn't attended to. Not by anybody's decision per se, but because, as we can always tell from Pearl's reports and everything else, there's so much going on that if we don't remind ourselves of the things that we need to be constantly reminding ourselves of and keeping abreast of, you know, it just may not come up when it should. So, I mean, that's my feeling about it.
Well, and I have to say this, too. I think the things that we have on the agenda sometimes jog my memory, too, that I wanted to bring up. But by the time we get here and we go through the focus topic and we go through several other things, it's gone off the top of my head. And then when we get down there and it's this or subject or that subject, then I can say, oh, yes, that's when I was going to say something. But I just felt a necessity to bring it up only because I heard comments from the public, and that's part of the thing that we do. And
absolutely.
Sure. And I wanted the people in the crowd today to understand why we do that.
Mm-hmm. And just on a matter of trying to think of something to say, as Bob said, to say nothing new.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
That's fine. I don't see anything wrong with that at all.
Nope. Me either.
Okay, so.
Excuse me to interrupt while I turn my cell phone off. Okay,
and you know, I think it's reasonable, you know, when I mentioned that it has come up before, that doesn't mean so it shouldn't come up again. That just means that, you know, that this is something that from time to time we revisit, and I think that's a good thing, too.
I do, too. Mm-hmm.
Because nothing is written in stone, and, you know, we need to be flexible as we move along. Okay, so we'll move to the next items. The first one is the budget update.
All right. I did want to let you know that in the last 2 months from Social Security reimbursements, we have received $26,518.
Wow.
So that's really good. And I said we're working away on that. Mm-hmm. Dottie and Carlos and Bill in particular. The budget in general, we're doing really quite well. People have all done a good job with keeping expenses down and watching very closely. And I always ask, does that mean we're not doing right by clients? Are there people not getting what they need if the spending is down? And so far, I'm assured that there is that we're doing fine with taking care of business and doing the things that we need to do. And of course, as you heard from earlier reports, a combination of various staff have done a great job of finding alternative funding for a number of things. So that's part of why we've been able to have all of our programs this year. I guess if you had specific questions about the current budget, I have some information with you that I could tell you about. But in general, as I said, things are going well, and we're on track with our expenditures. For the upcoming, the rest of this year, and of course the next biennium, we've had some increases. For example, the rental cost for our apartments has gone up about $4,000 a year. That we just got the new lease on that, and so that'll be an increased cost, but they hadn't raised their rent to us in a few years, so it's to be expected, and it's reasonable. The biennium budget, the full budget isn't due yet, but of course, in order to do the narrative, which includes a basic kind of a bottom line of what we expect our budget to be, we did need to look at a lot of the internal parts of the budget to see how we could, what amounts we would need to deal with in order to function. And so that has been submitted. I believe you all received that document, I hope.
Yes.
Yes, it was very helpful.
Good. And so I'd be glad to answer any questions or discuss any specific parts of the whole budget topic, whatever you'd like to have me address.
Does anyone have any questions? I don't at this point.
Okay.
Strangely enough.
Yeah. I have tried to send enough information to keep you informed in the interim between meetings, and so.
So the governor's office, there's no directives for this year.
No, not so far. There hasn't been anything. Of course, doing the narrative itself in July, that's never been asked for before. So this was new. I have to get that put together by in July.
Yeah, I was thinking it was always September 15th.
Yes, and it is. The full budget is due then, the full biennium proposal.
I thought that was a different thing.
Yeah, it is. Didn't get a whole lot of notice that it was going to be that way.
Okay, if there is nothing more on that, we will move along to the website update. We have been receiving all along the correspondence concerning the things that need to be done or that want to be done or or whatever. And, you know, we realize that people are working as diligently as possible on getting those things taken care of. And I know there was some discussion via email about whether we wanted or whether we thought that having donation letters or that kind of information there would be a good thing. And, you know, we talked about the legal ins and outs of, you know, people's names and one thing or another, but I didn't know if there'd been a decision made as far as whether that's happening, not happening.
No, we haven't changed anything on the website about that. And so if, I guess I really would look to you as a board to indicate if you would like that idea. Actually, as looking at the website as a whole, as I look at it, I can think of quite a few things that I would change on the website. Even though we've gotten lots of good comments of how good it is, I think it could still be better. But I haven't had time to, you know, sit down and think about what it would, how it would be different, or to assign that to anybody. That's something that's in the back of my mind that would be a good thing. There's quite a few things I'd like to have on there or have differently. But if there's something in particular, like the listing of donors, just tell me and we'll get that on the list of things. Do you like that idea? Or should we just hold off on that?
Well, people like recognition, I guess. So
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Unless they specifically say, I don't, you know, want my name published or whatever.
Because a lot of them are memorials.
Right.
So that's even more so
that
they would want it.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
I think it's good to put it on.
Yeah.
Okay.
And maybe there should, you know, just be a, we should throw out a suggestion box or something, say in the next month we're looking for ideas of how the website could be better, and maybe people, rather than have anybody sit down and think about it too long, I mean, just open it up to everybody and see what flows through.
Okay.
Like on the NCBVI announce or whatever that's called now.
The listserv.
The listserv.
What I call it.
Yeah, just send it out and see what people think. I think putting the Lifelines articles in the older blind category is a good one. I know that was something that was mentioned. Because there are several, I mean, those are short enough that people are likely to read them. And, you know, there were a lot of different topics, and so.
Okay. Also, I wanted to comment on that. We've been talking about how to help provide support. We have a volunteer webmaster, bless his heart, and he's doing a great job. There are certain things, because of a switchover in the way the state had its online services or something related to that, that there was something technical that Jim couldn't do, and that had to be kind of programmed in or something. And so Sean has worked on that. I believe that's been accomplished, and should, if I'm understanding correctly, then the things that Jim was wanting help with, he should now be able to just do himself. We discussed with Jan Brandt, who is here, if there were things that could be done from afar, you know, where Sean didn't have to be right there with Jim doing something, but that Jim couldn't physically do for some reason with the state system, that perhaps Jan could assist with the support. So far, it looks like that website thing was the, or I mean that whatever internal technical thing was the deal. And but we're going to just kind of keep in mind as things come up, if there are things that Sean can't get to, that Jim can't do by himself first. He's doing by himself for the most part. But then if he needs support, if Sean is too busy right then and it's something Jan could do, they will share that. And that'll just be a communication really between the three of them is how I think it'll work best.
Sounds good.
Thanks. That's all on that.
Okay. Anything else on that item? You know, anything you do with a computer is always changing. You just get used to something and all of a sudden it's different. And so that really is a major kind of a commitment on everybody's part. And we do appreciate it.
Definitely.
Okay, is there anything new on Friends of the Commission?
I've been in touch with Friends of the Commission individuals. There has not been a group meeting. The vice chairman, who lives in Omaha, happens to be here today, and I would invite Roy Hodley to comment if you want to. But in general, there definitely is still activity and interest. They recently submitted an additional $100 to the commission to help us with those kind of emergency, short-term, small things that come up. So that's really appreciated. Roy, did you want to add anything else?
I don't really have any comments. Dr. Kanzat, I'd like to ask you, has there ever been any discussion with the commissioners about that program that we were trying to work on with the Friends, the direct donation?
Yeah. We've mentioned it to the board. This idea is something that people in the Friends have really wanted to get going, to have a pre-authorized plan of donations for people who want to do it, whereby monthly or however often you set it, I think it mostly has to be monthly, but that there would be some bank account that would automatically take donations from people who would sign up. Some of the Friends people did some checking for a while, and then I did some checking for a while, and we really weren't successful at getting a bank that had a way to do it that didn't cost more than the donations themselves. Mm-hmm. So if I'm taking your thought, Roy, I think it would really help if one of you, or maybe a couple of you, would make some phone calls to see if there's a bank in your area that would have any kind of a better system for that.
I'd be happy to do that. There's got to be some sort of system that can, whereby that can be done. Barbara, you're familiar with what we do with the NFB, and that's basically the same thing. The people sign up to have direct withdrawal from their accounts and have it go on a regular basis. And I think there are many, many situations. For example, the the YMCA has a system similar to that where they just pay your dues. They withdraw your dues directly from your bank account every month.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's done. Because I know the ACB does that now too. It's automatic deduction every month. And so it can be done. You just have to get the right.
Well, like Carl said, the cost is what's the problem.
The cost for doing it.
Well, and yeah, and so different entities deal with that different ways, I think. You know, if there's somebody who can administer it, you know, that can cut the costs You know, because if you, if the bank is going to do it, then obviously, you know, they are going to. They have costs for just the going in or coming out, but the really the other part of it is making sure that it's really happening the way it needs to, and that everybody is pleased with what's going on with them, because there are always those things. So somebody has to be on top of it, even if there is a bank that, that does the actual nuts and bolts transfer part.
Yeah. Right, and I think the treasurer of Friends would be very good at that sort of thing and would be willing to do that. But Roy, if you're offering to make calls to a number of banks around, and Omaha is certainly a good place that has a lot of big financial institutions, and just get some comparison to what the options might be.
I'm sure I could do that. I've had some long-term relationships with banks in Omaha.
That would be wonderful.
Okay, is there anything else that we need to know?
I don't think so.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you, Roy. Okay, the next thing is the NIS update. I know there's still some, you know, concern in the, you know, in the staff about the whole NIS thing, but you know, is it basically working pretty well?
I believe that it is, in terms of accessibility, which is why it's in front of this board.
Yes.
That there isn't anything new that I have heard of new concerns, and I think with Wes working on that on a full-time basis, he's making sure it stays accessible. So unless somebody else knows something, I think that's one of those nothing new.
Okay.
Items.
All right. Okay. The next thing on the agenda is the NFB Newsline report, but I'm going to need to get my computer booted for that, so I think we will... in the meantime, is there anything new on the commissioner's packet?
We, after the last meeting, we added a few things to what would be in the packet. I also checked with Daryl, the new person, to see if he's been accessing everything that's on the website. The things he did need that were separate, he does have. One thing we've added is services for the visually impaired, Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired History. We have pieces of that, but I would like to get that all put together as a coherent document. And so that's on my list, but it doesn't really exist yet. So that'll be something in the works. The staff survey we talked about adding to the packet, and we were going to do this regardless of timing. We would have the survey itself and the results from the most recent survey. And so has that already gone out to all of you commissioners?
Yeah.
So that's, you mm-hmm. all have that. And so so basically that's, well, I guess the other piece of that is I want eventually to have what I call a website map or menu that is just a listing of all the topics and what's under which and so on. And you can go to the website and you've got the list, but then you have to click on individual ones to get what's in there. And so I want a master of that whole thing. And that's one of those things that was kind of up in the air. And so, Jan, could you maybe follow up on that and see about getting... It seems to me like even if we make changes, somehow there should be a way to sort of go in and get the map.
Sure.
There's a word for that, site something, and I can't think of what it is.
Right.
I know what you're talking about, yeah. Site map.
So if you could do that. So that's that.
Okay. All right, well, our next experiment is about to begin. Ryan Ozentoski sent me the Newsline report. And we're going to see if...
NOPBC 2006 activities pre-registration files 9148. SCBVI Center for Newsline report 8506, MP3.
Okay, so, here we go.
Enter.
We hope.
Windows Media Player, Amanda Zero.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen of the Board of Commissioners, to the Nebraska Commission for the Blind. Hello to Director Van Zant. And hello to anybody else who may be listening to this in North Platte, Nebraska. Good Saturday to you. This is Ryan Ozentoski, your humble NFB Newsline for Nebraska Outreach Coordinator. I apologize that I'm not able to be there for you in person today, but other obligations have kept me in Lincoln here this weekend. But there are developments occurring in Newsline that are so important that I wanted to give you a report about them, and I wanted to do it by voice. Thank you to Chairman Loos for allowing me to do this. I want to impress upon you the urgency and excitement and importance of these developments. So here we go. First and foremost, we have 1,087 subscribers as of today, August the 5th or 6th. Let's see, can I count? It's the 5th. Thank you. I do a little math in my head there, so that's going to make this report a little longer because it always takes me a long time to do math. So 1,087 subscribers. We have, going strong, the Nebraska Associated Press and the Nebraska UPI available on Newsline, as well as the Lincoln Journal-Star still up and running, the Omaha World-Herald, and the Grand Island Independent. Two major events happening that I want to tell you about with Newsline that are going to fundamentally change it here in the near future. The first is that Newsline is very soon going to be available in DAISY format by email. That means that any subscriber will very shortly be able to sign up for an email account, and we will have all of the newspapers available for email to your personal account as DAISY files. Now, if you're familiar with the DAISY format, you can read this in Braille or as a text file, as an audio text file with JAWS or any other synthesizer if you have a DAISY-compatible machine. And for more information on DAISY-compatible machines, you can ask the National Library of Congress, like Victor Readers and things like that. I don't know if DAISY is only going to be the first step. Perhaps eventually they're going to be available as simple TXT files. That may be possible. But right now, we're doing them as text files so that people won't have to hold a phone to their ear and will have newspapers more readily available via portable electronic devices, whether they be laptops, note takers with Braille displays, or what have you. This will make it more convenient for people to scan the newspaper, and it will make it more portable. And it will also cut down on telecommunications costs for the folks at the National Center in Baltimore. We'll get to that more in a minute. The process is not fully finished yet. Of course, the first question you're going to, I'm sure, ask is, how do we sign up for this? It's not fully done yet. Forms are kind of in their final stages of rough draft, but they're not quite ready yet. We have just a couple of bugs to work out. One of the things we want to work out is allowing people to turn on and off their email access through their phone account. So if you want email, you can turn it on through your Newsline account on the telephone, and if you want to turn it off, you can do it the same way. We haven't perfected that yet, so that's one of the little kinks in our system. We are working on that, however. The other major development is S-2918. It's a bill that has passed unanimously through the Senate here just a couple of weeks ago. It's called the Free Newspaper Act for the Blind and Other Disabled Persons. Now, I'm paraphrasing here, and legislation, is, especially the language, isn't my strongest suit, so I apologize if I'm not making myself clear here. But essentially, each year in the past, the Federation has had to go to Congress and ask for an earmark to pay for the telecommunications costs of Newsline. You recall that was essentially what got us boosted off the ground, going from a multi-state format to a national format. which was done in 2001. Each year we've had to go back and request more funds. This bill would give us an automatic appropriation each year without us having to go back for that earmark. Now, it has, as I mentioned, it's gone through the Senate and it passed unanimously. It has yet to be passed by the House, but the House, there's a lot of Republicans in there, so I'm sure they'll do the right thing. Bias on my part, I admit. But this is one of those bills, this is one of those bills that really is a no-brainer for most. It's giving blind people access to the same information that the sighted have. And it's doing it with money, and it's using Newsline as its primary conduit. Now, of course, nothing is completely simple. There are those out there, particularly of one organization, that are opposing this. And their objections range from they fear that the NFB is going to use this to create a monopoly through Newsline to the fact that they are afraid that radio reading services are going to be edged out of the competition because this bill names Newsline specifically in its allocation of the funds. However, Newsline has never been a for-profit operation. Our chief number one goal has always been to provide people with free access to the newspapers. I'm glad I'm not there to hear the retorts. Anyway, so a monopoly argument is completely non-valid because, again, we are not accepting anything for profit. So, it's another kind of a case of us getting in there and doing what we should and not everybody liking it, but that's the way it goes. As long as every blind person has the newspaper info at their fingertips, that's all right. The radio reading services have their avenues. We've never wanted to cut them out. That's never been an issue. And we've always, in fact, wanted to cooperate with them. But there's been some contention built in. There's nothing we can do about that. If you want to contact your representatives in the House, please feel free to do so and ask them to vote for S-2918 in its current form. That is my report, ladies and gentlemen. Again, have a good weekend, and thank you very much. If you have any questions, you can call or email me, newsline@neb.rr.com, or you can call me 402-471-8102. Thank you. Safe travels home, ladies and gentlemen, and we will talk to you soon. This is Ryan Ozentoski, and I am out.
Okay. All right. So that is the Newsline report.
Madam Chairman, can I ask a technical question? Probably.
I probably won't know the answer. Sure. Maybe somebody.
I've heard of Daisy files, but I don't pretend to understand what they are. And are most computers equipped with that kind of thing, or is that something that you add on? Or
that's a good question. I don't know.
Can Jan Brandt answer that?
Yeah, sure.
The DAISY format is, instead of hearing electronic speech, is actual speech, and you can speed it up or slow it down without it affecting the quality of the speech. But you do have to have a special player for it. You have to have it a software player on your computer or an actual handheld player, whether that's like a CD player, it looks like, with headphones. And so there is the external cost for it. But with the DAISY format, as Ryan said, you can then read it using a Braille display if you have one, or in text format if you have a screen reader, or just the DAISY format itself, which is actual voice.
Is there a cost for the DAISY software for your computer?
Yes.
Do you know how much?
There, that's probably the least expensive. I think the
40?
Smallest amount is like $40. And right now, if you're a member of RFB&D, they're selling some of their handheld DAISY players for, I think it's $64.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So not
Thank
too
you.
Bad.
Okay, now I am more confused.
I hate it when I do that.
No, you're not. I'm just old and stubborn and don't adapt to technology too well. The DAISY, if you get one of these readers in, to get the Newsline emailed to you, would you have to hook that into your computer?
Now, and again, we're getting into an area where I've just heard this for the first time about Newsline, so I can't answer your question there.
I think what you need to do, if you would like to have like a portable CD player, basically what a Daisy player is,
right?
You can listen music also, but not every CD player will play Daisy. What you need to do is you need to burn that file in Daisy format and use it in your portable machine, or you can hook your Braille note or Braille light to your computer and transfer the file.
Oh.
In Braille.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. It's basically a file. It's a different format.
Okay.
Thank and you. DAISY stands for digital audio. What's the rest of it?
This is you, this is Hubert. I have a book here, Digital Accessible Information System.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. Format which is being developed as the international standard for digital talking books.
And that particular format, is that good for like downloading books off of the internet or that kind of thing too? Or
depends
audiobooks?
On what books.
Okay.
There are Daisy books available in the internet that you can download, but there are all Braille formatted books that doesn't need a Daisy.
Yeah, okay. Because if you do web Braille from the National Library Service, you don't need a Daisy type of software for that at all. Hmm. But if you use Bookshare, then you do.
Okay.
Well, and just to throw in a little more confusion, some of the Daisy players work with the Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic books, but some of the Daisy players do not.
Really?
How do you know that?
Actually, you need to get permission. You need to get a code. I just found out that because we are just doing it with the new equipment. You need to send your equipment to RFB to get coded because they don't want anybody that is not a member using the machine.
Okay. Oh. That makes sense.
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. I think those were all reasonable questions, and thank you for having answers. Okay, so the next item is the status of Braille and accessibility of vending machines.
Okay. Update in Nebraska, all the machines at Scarpello's site at the Omaha post office have been brailled, except for the snack and the cold food machines. Jolene Bosshart is working on brailing of labels for all the pop machines, and as she gets those done, then Terry takes them to the vendors or she mails them so they can get those on. The brailers that we purchased for vendors, the hand Dymotape machines, only one is still not working, and the vendor that uses it just uses scissors. It punches the braille, but the thing that's supposed to cut off, you know, each piece, that's what doesn't work. So she's doing that manually with scissors, so that's working. We purchased some software and the hardware that's necessary for the use of a vendor for reading machine readings and other machine functions. These are some internal things in new vending machines. They're not for the customer, but because they're internal to the machine, they are to enable the operator to do the internal settings and operate the machine using Braille. And then also newer machines from a company called Automatic Products are having the buttons labeled in Braille right in the factory. And so we'll be excited to see those machines as they become available.
And at the national level, the work group that I have, there are different parts of the project being put together in other states, like the list of which companies we should write to and the figuring out of exactly what we should be working on saying to the companies. You all saw a draft of a letter that we worked on, but we're not going to send that till we get the other pieces of the project put together. So that's in process, and that's as far as that has gone.
Now, the internal machine thing that you were talking about, I had heard that there were ways of reading some of that stuff audibly. I didn't know that there was anything that would connect to any kind of Braille to do that. That would be really neat.
Yeah. Maybe it is audible. Maybe that part is audible. Now that I'm thinking about it, I think I misspoke. So
oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. There's not a Braille readout inside the machine. I'm just picturing how this was described to me. So no, that's got to be audible. Sorry.
Well, but if it would connect to something,
yeah.
That's what I was hoping for.
Near,
maybe that's not here yet.
Right, could be.
Okay, well, thank you. It's good to know that progress is still happening in that arena.
It's not impossible.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Okay, the next item is public comment.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I have a couple of things. One of them, talking about the website.
Say your name.
Fatoshvoy, I'm sorry. Talking about the website, I'm not sure if we talked about last time or not. Probably you're going to have the history part. Maybe we can put that, on the website.
Yes, I do want to do that.
Yeah, to give some kind of a long-term history in Nebraska. The other one is, can we do something like in the news or some segment like that? There is a great article about wages. Article about Shane and Amy. I mean, one of our staff people. There are a lot of articles happening, and I was wondering if we can publish those, and if we have the right to, of course. I mean, I know there are newspaper articles.
I was actually intending to send those out kind of as a moving forward message to everybody on the listserv, and then it's also posted and goes to staff and everybody too. But I have to admit, I didn't wonder whether we have the right to do that, but that's a very good question.
I think it is okay to send it out. I don't see a problem, but I'm talking about the website, having a segment, to publish.
As far as I know, if you just give credit to this was published in such and such on such and such a date, it's all right to do that.
I thought maybe we need to have a segment, because there are articles about our clients and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
My last thing is that... I really believe that it is an inappropriate comment that Ryan made about his political view. Mm-hmm. This is a public meeting, and he is representing one of our programs. I truly didn't appreciate it.
I would agree.
May I comment on something too, as a board member?
Sure.
Back to the last meeting when the statement was made that the hiring of the apartment person sucks. I thought that was extremely inappropriate, too. And I think that we need to admonish people that they need to be more appropriate when they bring things to the board.
Yeah, I think it's important that we do things like that too. Ryan is a friend of mine. However, I don't think either of those comments were appropriate either, because we serve all blind people, whether they're Republicans, Democrats,
right,
no affiliation, never vote, whatever they do. And so, and you know, I and as far as other kinds of comments, you can have disagreements, but I think you have to be careful about the kinds of ways that you show your disapproval.
Mm-hmm. And I too am a good friend of his, but I just feel that, you know, I agree with that. And Fatosha.
Well, I would hope that if I made a comment that was not appropriate, somebody would give me the opportunity to apologize.
Yeah, and we all been in that position. You know,
oh, yeah.
And, you know,
yeah,
I'm pretty outspoken. I mean, I've had to eat crow a couple of times myself in my lifetime.
Was it tasty?
Yeah. Not very.
You mean you don't know Nancy?
No,
we're lucky.
He says he's a nice, calm demeanor. You know,
yeah, really. See, I'm so perfect.
Oh, my goodness.
Nancy, believe that. If you don't believe that, I will sell you land in Florida, too.
Nancy ate crow, though. She cooked it so well that it would taste good.
It would taste like triple chocolate cake.
I think we do have a responsibility to, you know, to help each other to do better, no matter what it is that we're doing, and to do so in, you know, to do that in good taste as well. So, you know, I think we all move forward that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think, too, though, that if Ryan were here, he would be probably saying that that was a tongue-in-cheek comment. And, you know,
yeah,
I think we need to be, you know, mindful of that kind of thing, too. So
you're right.
Madam Chairperson?
Yes.
I didn't think it as a... I mean, this is a public meeting, and he is representing our agents in the program. And if any of us as staff people would do it, Dr. Pearl Vincent would probably take a disciplinary action.
Yeah, well, they have to think before they make it a tongue-in-cheek.
Absolutely, I agree. I didn't say that to say that that means that it's an okay thing to do. Mm-hmm. I was just commenting on the kind of comment that I felt like it was. You know, I didn't say that made it appropriate or anything like that. So that's a point well taken also. Is there further public comment? Okay, the next item would be the break for lunch, which we already did.
Oh, we all break again?
Second.
This is Pearl. Does anyone need a break right now, you know, a short one?
No.
Before we...
No,
may I make a...
Val?
Comment? Oh, I'm fine. Thank
okay.
you.
Yes.
I'd just like to make a comment. I noticed in the new business section, we don't go to another public comment or break till almost the end. And I know sometimes people end up with time constraints or drivers coming in such and need to leave before a meeting is over. I want to thank everybody. It's just so great, this group.
Yeah.
You know, such a large attendance. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming.
Well, that's no
yes.
kidding. We appreciate it, too. And people who are willing to speak up.
That's right.
That's
yes.
the other thing. I mean, we really do appreciate that. Manager? Because it's... Yes.
Colleen Chandler.
Yes.
I would like to thank Andy and everybody who made this wonderful lunch possible. Isn't that great?
Absolutely. You took the words right out of my mouth for the things that we put into our mouths.
Yeah. Andy, I want you to know that Marie and Dr. Nijin made the beef mixture and donated that, as well as the homemade cookies. They wanted to do that just as a contribution, because they have several wonderful friends who happen to be blind, and they just wanted to do that for us. So the rest of it came out of the commission budget.
But you did the work.
tell them thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. I will tell them thank you, and we were just glad to do it. Glad you were all here. Thanks for all the helpers, Denise and Nancy and Toshi and Connie.
Pickled asparagus would have really went good.
Yeah. I thought we'd have some.
We are begging for that one. We'll put that one on the agenda for the next meeting.
All right.
So moved. I have no idea where that came from, but I guess maybe it's an inside joke or something.
Yeah, it must be inside.
No, it's real good. Candy was talking about it last night.
Oh.
But she won't divulge the secret.
Or let anybody taste it.
But
it tastes really good. We guess. So we've heard.
Okay.
Moving
right along. The next item on the agenda is elections.
I nominate Barb Lowe's.
Second.
President.
Okay.
All those in favor. Roll call. Bill.
No, you got it. Bill, you got it.
Yes.
You
Nancy,
do the roll call.
Hang on.
Yes.
Now, hold on here. Board is getting out of hand.
We need to restore the order and bring Barb back.
I think it's Bill's responsibility to
do the roll
call.
Okay.
Bill. Yes.
For the record, yes. And for the public, I didn't hear an actual motion. I know you all know what it is.
Well, Val was writing, so I assumed that she did hear the motion. I heard it, but
I had Burns nominated, Lowe's, and Altman seconded.
Thank you.
As for president.
Yeah. For president. Yeah.
Thank you.
I vote yes.
Okay, Mr. Burns.
Yes.
Mr. Wallace.
Yes.
It's a unanimous vote.
Okay.
I don't know how you do this all the time.
Okay. I will remind people that by August of next year, my second term will be expiring, so there won't be another whole year to do this particular job.
So Daryl and Nancy start campaigning.
But thank you for your faith in me in this job, and thank you for making it easy by doing what you do. So,
and I nominate Bill Orrester as vice president.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that Bill Orrester be vice chairman. Is there any discussion? Okay, Nancy.
Yes.
Daryl.
Yes.
Bob.
Yes.
Bill. Of course you
would be. You wouldn't dare say no.
Yes.
Okay. That, too, is unanimous. So
I nominate Bob Burns for executive secretary. Is that what it's called?
It's kind of gone out of business since our election is public now.
Well, if we...
But if we ever have one...
Yeah, if we ever need to have an emergency meeting, which hopefully we won't...
Yeah, I second that. It's
been moved and seconded that Bob Burns be our executive session secretary.
Excuse me, Mrs. Val.
Yes.
Altman nominated. Who seconded? I didn't catch that.
I think Bill did.
Bill.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Bill?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Daryl?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Okay.
This is Pearl Mass. Yeah, good question.
Thing, yes.
One of the duties that the executive secretary did in the past was compile a list of motions passed by the board.
Yes.
And it occurs to me that needs to be kept up to date over time. Would you like that executive secretary to do that? Or
we did decide to have that happen, and he has been doing it. We, you know, at some other meeting, that was one of the motions I think we passed, was that that was part of that person's duty.
Okay.
So, I suppose to just call it executive session secretary isn't altogether accurate anymore.
An archivist. Of,
well, how about just executive secretary?
Executive secretary. Yeah. Well, we could call it that. Sure.
Secretary. So each time that is updated, or after each meeting, that'll be looked at, and then you'll send us.
They call it professional assistant
as well.
Yeah, and really, the only motions that I've added to it have been motions that have affected, you know.
Policy,
yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay, and then we, do we post that on the commission board part of the website?
Or I don't know, that current list that we have, is that posted on the website anymore?
I really don't know. But as with, you know, something I could send to him to update it.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to.
I think it would be a good idea.
It could go with where the
the commissioner packet
yeah.
thing is.
Yeah. Our okay. mission statement or whatever mission.
Okay, so make sure I have the most current, if you could.
You can.
Thanks.
Excuse me, this is Val. So, Burns, you're going to send her an updated copy of all the motions. Okay.
Yeah, the last one be updated, but I can just re-forward that because I have that in a Word document.
Good. And I'll make sure I post the correct one. Okay. Thank you.
Excuse me. Then you are going to have Jim post them on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that should be.
Okay, so we're, and we can, I mean, if we, in our mission statement job duty thing, it will still call it executive session secretary unless we want to update that too. I mean, we can do that. So what's your pleasure?
I think that's fine.
Okay.
That can just be one of the duties of.
Yeah. Okay.
So Nancy and Daryl, you need to watch Barbara like a hawk this next year and get all her moves down.
Look at the mistakes and don't make them.
We're unloading
no,
the chair.
No, actually, we're gonna drag Barb to all the commission meetings and mm-hmm. have her point out the failures of doing.
Well, I wouldn't like that job, so I'll pass on that. It probably would be very easy, though, because there probably won't be any. But, you know. Okay, the next item on the agenda is standards and indicators results.
Okay. Recently, I received from Rehab Services Administration the official reports about the results of standards and indicators for the years 2004 and 2005. And I have quite a bit of information, but I'll just try to give you the high points of where the commission is at. The first indicator is the difference in number of individuals with employment outcomes from the prior performance period. The requirement is that you just equal or exceed your level from the previous year. And so we passed this both years. In 04, we were up 15 people, and in 2005 we increased that number another 16. So we passed that both times. The indicator 1.2 is the percent with employment outcomes after services. this, the required level is 68.9% of your clients who end up with employment outcomes. We failed that both times. In 2004, our outcome was 61.92%, and in 2005 it was 56.16%. We believe part of the reason of that failure is that in the past we had more vocational rehabilitation clients with the goal of homemaker, and we've tried to in more cases, if someone wants homemaker types of objectives and what they want to accomplish, we're having that considered more of an independent living case instead of voc rehab. So but anyway, so that is something we're going to be looking at very closely this next year to see, to really see, you know, where are we at with that, and making sure that since our funding is voc rehab to help people get jobs, we want to help people get jobs. Okay, the next one is the percent of all individuals who were competitively employed after services. The goal on this is actually quite low. It only has to be 35.4%. And we passed both years almost double what is required. In 04, we had 61.49%. And even higher in 05, we had 66.46%. So I think that's really good. The next one is the percent of individuals we serve who get competitive employment outcomes who had a significant disability. And we've had, the requirement is 89%. We've had 100%. Throughout the years, every year, 100%. 1.5 is the people who get jobs as a result of our services, what their hourly average wage is compared to the average state hourly wage of just all employment in the state. The minimum performance level to pass is 0.59. So a 1.0 would be that all of our clients got exactly what the average state hourly wage was. So 0.59 is required. We passed that both years. In 04, our result was 0.7, and in 05, it was 0.674. So that means we're helping people to get good jobs with good wages. Okay, number 1.6 is self-support. That is the percent of people who are self-supporting at closure as opposed to when they applied for services. The requirement is 30.4. In 2004, we failed that. We had 29.67. So we were close, but we did fail. In 05, we passed it barely with 31.19. So it shows an increase over the last couple of years, which is good. And then the final standard and indicator is the services to people from minority backgrounds compared to the non-minority service rate. And the requirement is 0.8. In 04, we were 1.397. And in 05, 1.278. So we did pass that. However, the way that it's written, if a state has less, no matter how small the state is, if they have fewer than 100 individuals from a minority population that exit the VR program, then we need to establish a plan, describe the policies that we have adopted or will adopt, and the specific steps we will take to ensure that individuals from disabilities or with disabilities from minority backgrounds have equal access to voc rehab services. And so we are in process, we've always worked on this, but we're putting it into a more formalized format for the purpose of the RSA monitoring visit that's coming up. And so that is where we're at with standards and indicators. Any questions?
And you said that we needed to pass how many of them?
Okay, I didn't state that this time, but thank you.
I know you have, and I ought to remember.
Right, no, that's okay. There are four... let's see. Let me see if I can read it so that I say it right. There are four or five primary indicators. Let's see. Can you spit that out, Carlos?
I'm the same as Pat.
Yeah.
I think we're required to pass three out of the four primary indicators, but I don't remember.
Yeah, that sounds right. Hang on a second. Let me find where it says this. A state must meet or exceed four of the six performance indicators, including meeting or exceed two of the three primary. And the primary ones are 1.3, 1.4, and 1.5, which we passed all three of the primary. And of the six total, you have to pass four, and we passed one, two, three, four, five. So we did well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Again, that speaks to not only good work, but good keeping track of it, which is
right.
Sometimes a really hard part of it.
Yeah.
Okay, the next item is the assistive technology, I think it's supposed to be partnership equipment grant, but I had project.
Excuse me a second. The next one after standards and indicators was the RSA.
Oh, the fiscal monitoring. I knew I had skipped something there.
Yeah.
I was just testing you and you passed with me.
That's right. Your first standard.
That's right. Okay.
The monitoring. All right. Well, this is all past history, but we have to address it and work on it. RSA, Rehab Services Administration, comes in every so often and does an evaluation of our work and go through our files, and it's always a little bit different. But in the year 2004, they did what they call a 107 monitoring review of the year 2003. And so that's actually what we're talking about here. With the closure of all the regional offices, back up, when we got the report last year, I guess, or whenever we received it, we did work with the regional staff of RSA to address the things that they had observed and make some changes and set things in motion. And so that really was all in the works. Then the regional offices were closed, and the central office of RSA assigned teams to work with each state, and then those teams have attempted to catch up on all the work that's going on in the country. And really did not get a lot of, or apparently didn't get a lot of the documentation that the regional offices had. So we kind of had to start with scratch on some of this. But I can briefly summarize where we're at. There are four major areas that we're working on. They actually are using the term a corrective action plan. So we're under a corrective action plan on this. Number one is it's required that there is a presumed eligibility for VR services for anyone who is an SSI or SSDI recipient. That's Social Security, Disability Insurance, or Social Supplemental Security Income. We did not document that. We actually, I think, did it most of the time in the past, but we didn't have a system where it was clearly documented. So we developed a form which the counselor uses to check that and to confirm it, and so it's in the file. Yes, you apply for services, you are a recipient, therefore you're eligible. The second part of that is staff training, which we have done and actually had done a year or two ago. The third piece of it is what this new team from RSA is really emphasizing. They want us to have a quality control system so that we know administratively and they can look and see that, yes, indeed, we have at least 90% of, compliance with this requirement. And so what we're going to do for that and for a parallel requirement on all of these is we're having a programmer come in and work with Dottie and do something magic to her database so that it will track that. and we don't have that now. And so once we get that in place, that's going to happen this month, I think. Is that right? Or next month?
It should happen this month, but he hasn't got back to us yet.
Okay. So, and actually, the programmer that has worked with us and been really good with our database closed his own, you know, he was working as an independent contractor, and now he went to work for someone else. So I think we can still get him, but it'll be, we need to work around his schedule. So then once that's in place, then it'll spit out reports that tell us, and that then Carlos can monitor on a routine basis so that we know, yes, indeed, it is happening. And if it isn't, if there's more than a 10% failure rate somehow, then that's a red flag to him to go back to working with supervisors. And boy, that one went fast. I guess we didn't have enough time on that one. Anyway, then the second area of concern was that applications be accepted within 60 days of after a person has applied, or is referred, that their application is taken within 60 days. Actually, these steps are the same. We had developed a way to track that. We provided staff training around the state, and now we're going to begin to implement something within the database that will help us to assure quality control. The third one is...
Excuse me, now that one was the one where we got that information that talked about 60 days or 90 days or whatever.
Well, and that's the next one.
That's the next one, okay.
Right.
I wasn't sure.
I'll tell you, it is confusing. Yeah. The next one is that an IPE be developed within, the Rehab Act requires within a reasonable time frame. And it allows states to decide what is reasonable. Now, we had decided it would be 90 days, that after you're, you know, accepted for services, that there's 90 days within which the counselor and client together can develop the plan. Mm-hmm. And the original letter that RSA sent to us about this under the corrective action is that we were supposed to be 60, but we documented to them that in conjunction with the regional office, we had set it at 90, and so we actually didn't fail it. Mm-hmm. And so, but we still have to assure that this happens, and we need to have a way to assure quality control. Does that make sense?
So 90 is okay,
yes,
ultimately with,
yes,
them.
Yes. It's not up to them. It's set by the state. And so, I mean, we couldn't set it at 3 years or anything. And for the most part, they're developed sooner than that. It's just that that allows more flexibility for the person and the counselor to explore what they want to work on. And then the last one is serving minorities. I spoke a little bit about that in the standards and indicators. We really did not fail that, but because Nebraska has a lower incidence of persons from minorities, we need to identify specific actions that we can take on a routine basis every year or every quarter or whatever. What we're going to do where, establish the plan, and then begin the tracking process. And so we discussed this in detail yesterday at the supervisors meeting and identified a number of specific ideas. Each supervisor is going to put together a plan for each office area, and then they'll get those to Carlos and Bob by September 1st, and we'll begin the actual implementing and tracking process by October 1st. And that's it on that, unless you have questions.
So now that they are doing this thing this way, what are they doing as far as the, you know, the monitoring in the future? I mean, here we are in 06, and we're dealing with you know, things that are that far back. Is anything catching up or
no? It was always there were was always a couple of years lag time.
But
it's of course even worse without the regional offices. But I don't see it catching up. Internally, what we do, honestly, is even though we may not have a database and a computerized system for quality control, we really do look at this. Supervisors and Carlos, they look at caseloads, and if things are falling behind, you know, in an area, they work with the staff to figure out what the issues are. So we don't just wait because it's
well, old. Really, yeah.
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 So, but it's red flags for us to make sure we are on top of these things.
Okay, well, thank you. And, you know, some of that stuff, boy. Yeah.
Yeah. What can you say?
Okay, so now back to the really next item on the agenda, the assistive technology project or partnership or whichever it is, equipment grant.
Okay, a lot of work has gone into that from a number of perspectives. I mentioned a little bit before, but I'll repeat some of it. A big part of it was narrowing down what all we wanted to purchase, then getting approvals to make purchases. Some we needed to do bids on, some we didn't. A team has worked very hard on getting a system in place so that it would be a benefit and not an extra burden to staff and to consumers, so that the equipment will be available online for people to seek to have demonstrations or loan, and we could, I guess I'd like Bob to say a few comments about it. We could probably talk half an hour about specifics, which I don't think you want, but if you could maybe, Bob, give some highlights of how that's working out.
I really say have to say that it is a team effort. There's a lot of things that a number of people are doing to help organize this thing. So when it does get started, it'll work well. We are still in the process of acquiring equipment. We received a grant of $60,000 from the Assistive Technology Project. And we'll be receiving some more. That equipment will be posted on the AT for All website to log on to the website and browse what's available there. It is necessary to establish a personal account. Nancy Kaufman has developed a procedural reference guide for staff to use and for consumers too, that very explicitly tells how to set up a personal account. It's a very simple process and for the most part self-explanatory, but again, this is available for people who need something to look at. And then once you log on, there are different ways that you can browse the website for different types of you can search for specific types of equipment. You can search by category, for example, assistive technology for the visually impaired. You can search by vendors or agencies such as Mission. You can look at everything that's available on the website from the Commission, for example. Staff will be able to set up accounts for people, clients, consumers that want to borrow equipment. Certain staff are identified as program managers. They will be responsible for posting the equipment and revising the listing as circumstances change. The program managers are Connie Carlo, Josie Rodriguez, Cheryl Livingston, and Betty Burrish. Gosh, I don't know how detailed we need to be with this. Some of the types of equipment that we're getting, the NFB, the Kurzweil NFB reader, the note tape, there are electronic note tape takers available, the Freedom Box, Franklin Language Master,
Daisy players who might.
Oh yeah,
for people
thank
who
you.
Might be interested in looking at those.
Yeah, well, yeah, thank you. There's quite a bit of equipment. Like I say, $60,000 worth.
Yeah.
Closed circuit TVs, low vision kits. I don't know. Can you think of more, Jan?
Software for scanning and reading, typing tutorials that could be loaded on your computer, but then of course have to be removed after the borrowing duration. Just
human skills, food skills, color identifiers,
money identifiers for people in retail,
code readers.
The equipment listed will be available either for demonstration or loan. Some items will be for demonstration only. More expensive types of equipment, we feel would be taking a chance unless people really know what they're doing with equipment. And some things you can't really have assurance that people know how to properly operate equipment after a brief demonstration. So some things are going to be restricted to demonstration only. Otherwise, the equipment that is given out to loan, you don't have to be eligible for services from the commission in order to receive equipment. Anybody can request equipment. People that receive loans will be expected to sign a loaner agreement. Loans will be for 30 days with an option to extend that loan up to 90 days unless there's another request that comes in then it's understood that the person will need to give up that equipment. They can have it up to 30 days, but if the request comes in after that, then it needs to be returned.
I think really that's enough detail.
I can go on more.
We could talk about it for a long time, but that gives you an idea, and it is still a work in progress, but I think it's going to be a wonderful opportunity.
Where's all this stuff going to be kept?
That's one of the logistics we're working on. Each office has some of the things, and if you go to the website to look at what's available, it'll say where it's located too. Anybody can go on this. It's AT4ALL.com, and you can check out where things are at.
Well, now, will this be available for, say, happen to be in Lincoln, walk in and see what's available there?
Yes. Now, it'd be better if you can check ahead so there's somebody available to demonstrate it to you. But if you are there and you can't check ahead, we could try to, usually there's somebody that could work with you. Yes.
That's reasonable, too, to let them know that next week I'll be there, or would like to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And that would hold true North Platte or,
right.
or wherever the
sure.
place is. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very good.
And a lot of this new equipment will be demonstrated this next week at our technology show and tell in Lincoln. Mm-hmm. So
you can come down to that.
Sure.
Great.
Okay. Now, where it's housed, does that have to do with its range of where it can be borrowed, or
no?
Or
no.
Available statewide from wherever it is.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
And there are also lots of things on there that have nothing to do with the things we purchased. You know, you can look up wheelchairs and crutches and all manner of
ramps
things.
And all
yeah.
sorts of things. And another thing that the website will be good for is for people who have things for sale. So say, for instance, you have a Braille light and you're going to buy a new note taker, but your Braille light is still good, you can sell it on that website after you've registered. So
another
it's kind
thing.
Of like an eBay for mm-hmm. assistive technology.
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
wow.
Another thing that can be done, too, if you are a consumer and you're looking for a specific piece of equipment, for instance, like a ramp for entry into a home, you know, to you can host that as an item wanted. So that's another way to find equipment that you would like to have.
Hmm.
It's an extremely easy website to use. So that's another nice thing.
Is it national or what is it?
Assistant Nebraska right now,
okay.
Assistive technology program would like to see it go regional or national. So who knows, might become something really big.
Okay, thank you all.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay, the next item is the goals for the executive director for state fiscal year 2007. We did receive those. And I don't know if anybody had any, you know, any questions about those, or if we want to.
Look good.
No, they were really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I think
really,
so too.
Very good goals.
Okay.
Very good. Let's see, I was. There was something that we talked about that you were going to be keeping track of this year, and I was trying to figure out if it was in there. I can't remember what that was. Well, we can.
If you
we'll think about
that,
it later,
send me an order.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, thanks.
Whatever it was, it isn't anything to worry about. It was just I was checking parallels or whatever. That was
okay.
All. Okay, the next item is the staff survey results.
Okay, I was pleased that we had an increase this year in the members of staff that decided to participate, and because they really are helpful to me, and I've heard comments like that too from the other commissioners too.
Absolutely.
And one of the things I decided to do this year was, since I compiled them, was to have the comparison from last year compared to this year and how, and that too, for me, it was very helpful. I don't know how everybody else felt about
it was,
but
you did a nice, very nice job.
The one of the interesting things is that, you know, everybody should do it whatever way they want to do it if they're going to participate, but sometimes one staff person or another will decide not to answer this question or that question or only answer the 21 or not the first five or just the first five and not the 21. And so it makes the outcomes, you know, even though 23 people participated, the calculations might not, will not show that because they didn't answer all the questions and such. I think we need just to continue to encourage the staff to participate and write comments, as many as they want, because I really appreciate those comments, too. And that's all I really have.
Oh, one thing that was raised there, and we ought to do, you know, we could make it more clear, is exactly if we want a specific format or a specific place that people put their responses, we could indicate that in our directions. I mean, so far I think we've been able to figure it out.
Right, right.
But you know, I think that's a reasonable thing to bring up, and something that maybe, you know, next year we could, or even now or whatever. I mean, if we wanted to say, you know, please place your response immediately before the number or immediately after. I mean, if we have a preference or something to give some indication of that, if we think we ought to do that, I mean,
it'd be good to put a direction.
Yeah, because right now, I mean, you know, isn't one.
No, that's true, and you know, and it just, like Barb says, you figure it out, you know, that, oh, this person's decided to put it at the end of the question, this person's decided to put it before the numbered question or just after the numbered question, so you just kind of, you know, once you figure out the system, then that's the way you do that. That's the way you figure out that whole thing. But yeah, I think too it would be helpful to have some kind of a direction. It really doesn't. I wouldn't have a preference. I don't know if anybody else would, but so that they would all be the same. It would be nice if they were all uniform and whatever.
Madam Chairman.
Yes.
This is Denise. It might be helpful if the commissioners let the staff know, number one, that it is helpful to you, and maybe how it's helpful. You know, it comes out over email. Sometimes you're gone for days. Think you're going to get back to it, and it gets buried. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe a little encouragement and some examples of why it's beneficial to you as commissioners might help.
Resend it every day.
No, you know, one of the things that happens, and I'm not sure why this happened, is for whatever reason, since I've been on this board, is that I don't always get, you know, and I could blame it on myself and say that, you know, perhaps I have deleted something without realizing it was somebody's answer to a survey or something. Because, you know, there's a lot of staff people. I'm getting to know everybody, but, you know, still don't know everybody. And I might have done that, but it's too many. And sometimes it's somebody that I absolutely would recognize the name, and I question that I did delete that. And in one of the things that we do, even though we set a deadline for this is the deadline as to when the surveys have to come in, if somebody sends one in late, we still accept it, and it still gets into the compilation of the figures that we come up with, because that's only fair. Because as you say, you guys are shorthanded, and you get, you know, piled under all those emails. So Hubert's telling me to shut up, so I won't.
Fatosh?
This is Fatosh. I think it will be maybe helpful for the staff to do it quickly is to do it in a Word format, kind of a, you know, you can tab into, you listen to the question, tab it, put your answer, tab to the next.
Oh, so that's a thought. I like that idea.
It is.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea, but I don't know
who's going to do that. One of our techie people.
Well, not really. I mean, any of us can do it. It's a very simple process. It really is not really.
Fatosh, you're smarter than I am. So,
I mean, I'm sure there are several people who can work on it. It's really, it will take, because it is ready, it will take only, you know, half an hour to sit down like that.
Yeah, that's a great thought.
We'll work on it.
Yeah.
This is Val. She say just to put it in Word format.
Word, Jen, help me.
Sheila. A true survey type thing. If you went to do a survey online, there'd be a little checkbox to say, you know, male or female, and you would check whichever one it is.
How about if we do this later, next week or so, before Fatosh leaves on vacation, you could just spend a few minutes telling Val what you mean, and if it needs more than that after you get back, Val's very good at putting on her calendar, October 2nd, talk to Fatosh about that survey thing. And she'll follow up, guaranteed, and then between you all, you can...
Daddy did several for me.
Okay.
For Saturn.
Okay.
Daddy...
Cool.
So maybe you could talk to Daddy about it. And if you don't have time before your vacation, I understand, because that's coming right up. Okay, great. So Daddy and Fatosh will work on that. And then I had a question. This is Pearl. Will you send this, the results and the comparison
yes.
to all staff then?
Well, we'll send it to you to do that.
Okay.
So far, we aren't, connected with the everyone
okay.
thing or whatever
that's
that
fine.
Is.
That's fine. I'm happy
so,
to. I yeah. just want it.
So, okay, so.
Okay.
Do you want me to send mine, or are you going to send?
Yeah, you could just send your last one.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll send it to you.
Thank you, and I'll get that out to all staff.
Okay. Yeah, I like that idea of having it be a... a more specific format, and I think that would help everybody to, to read it more quickly, to deal with it more quickly.
Fill it out more quickly.
Some things we do the way we do because that's just what we've done. Mm-hmm. It's good to have new suggestions, and that will solve that problem of not knowing where exactly to put things, too.
Well, it is called word form. Is a form.
Okay.
Word form. Okay.
I just didn't hear the word, so that was all I needed.
Okay. Okay, the next item is the focus topics for the next two meetings. November, we have workings of the business office, and February, we don't have a topic chosen yet, so we need to do that. Had a topic that addressed the outreach to minorities, since that's something we're going to be working on in the next several months, we could provide you with information about that. Now, we did have the underserved populations recently.
Yeah, okay.
I think that would be, certainly if there are new things being done, we would want to know about them, but I... Mm-hmm.
That PI, I don't know if it would be a whole thing, but what's being done for, people in that age group, we've done older, but never the...
Project Independence?
Yeah, from kids to 14 or whatever. But maybe, like I said, maybe there's not a whole lot to do on that.
Well, Well, we have not, I know we talked about doing, doing one on what support staff do. And diabetic services. Those are all things that we could certainly work up a program on. So if you wanted to just pick one, we can. Yeah, or even just, you know, we have keyed in on the deafblind at one point. I don't know that we've actually dealt with multi-disabled people. I know that when we received some of the case service information, it did talk about some people who have supported employment and you know, job coaches and that kind of thing.
Yeah, something on the multi-disabled, because that's definitely a big trend. It's not a new trend. I mean, it's coming a long time. That basically flows through everything, the center, case work, everything. How are we going to... kind of services we're going to give people with multiple disabilities.
That's a good possibility.
I'd say let's do that in February.
Sounds good to me.
Services for people with multiple disabilities.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we can do that.
This is Val.
Yes?
Bob Deaton has his hand raised.
Oh Bob. You know, we'll never get that.
Yeah.
Are you just working on your muscles? Or?
Yeah, I'm just trying to get a little exercise.
I see, okay.
I thought maybe Pearl would help
she
might
was,
see it. But,
I'm making Bob, notes.
I just thought maybe the Rehab Act itself might be something to look at. I don't know, as a focal topic, if we've ever took an overall look at that, you know, as it pertains, you know, the Rehab Act is a giant piece of legislation, but as it pertains to state rehabilitation agencies, it's more manageable.
I think that's a good idea.
Maybe that can be our main topic.
Yeah, there's no, you know, no reason that we need to just stop with. So would you want to consider that for May?
Sure.
I think so.
Sounds good.
Like how the Rehab Act applies to services for blind, or
how it implemented now, and also the changes that may happen with the current legislation under consideration.
Mm-hmm.
So there will be changes.
So how the Rehab Act impacts the blind, or something like that.
Okay.
This is Val.
Okay,
and
yes.
For the
May meeting of 07.
Thank you.
Did we ever set up the the dates for February or May?
Yeah, we should do that now that we're actually talking about it. I had written it down so that we wouldn't forget.
Okay.
We had some informal discussion over lunch about setting up our next meetings, because it's hard to get places unless we do it way ahead of time. Our one of the things that comes up is, you know, trying to figure out with our schedules and looking that far ahead what we can do. But does anybody have, we know that the November meeting will be on the 18th in Lincoln, the 18th of November in Lincoln.
In Lincoln?
In the Omaha. Boy, I tell you.
Excuse me, this is Val. It's Lincoln.
Lincoln, yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
Lincoln written down.
Okay.
Where did I get?
How easily I get that.
Didn't we already reserve Carveth for that?
Okay.
All right. It is Lincoln.
Yeah.
Okay.
18th in Lincoln.
See, I was wrong.
And we were talking February 10th for the next one.
Yeah, we... So... Oh, my. I just thought I was... Okay, so... Discussion concerning February. We had talked about the 10th of February as a possibility.
Why not? Let's do it the 10th.
Sounds good.
Sounds okay. Good.
Omaha?
Can you wait just a second?
You're looking at your calendar?
Yeah.
Is that a problem?
Oh, let's see. That might be a problem for me. I might be on a cruise at that time.
Oh,
we feel so sorry for you, Bill.
I don't know what the exact dates are for that.
Boy, first Bill, then Bob.
And then Bob.
I do have have tickets to a play at the Lead that afternoon. So.
The 10th?
Oh. Yeah, February 10th.
Okay.
Is there any problem with the 3rd? We've always gone the first
fine.
Saturday.
Yeah, the 3rd works fine for me.
What about you, Bill?
That's fine. I'll be home.
The 3rd of February.
Okay, February 3rd. What place? Like, do you want to do Omaha?
Why not?
Why not?
I think that would be good. Right. And should we try to meet in the state office building again?
I think, yeah, that would be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, in May, we were having sufficient trouble that I don't know that we can settle on something. Today,
we'll exchange emails and set it next time.
Yeah. So what we need to do in November is to set May, August, and November of next year. Is that going to be soon enough, Val and you guys who are doing the setting up of things?
Can't believe it wouldn't.
I mean, it's easy enough for us to. Well, we've had to have a year on some things. Mm. So.
That Carveth building does fill up very quickly. I would say if you could even put a tentative date, May.
Well, we had suggested June 2nd. It was going as far as that. How busy May seemed to be. So I don't know. Do we want to use that as a tentative date or?
Sure, why not.
What's your thought, everybody?
That would be okay.
Some people were wondering about graduations or that kind of thing, but,
Well, we just put it for tentative and we can double check. Yeah.
Okay. So June 2nd?
Yeah.
June 2nd?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So our May meeting will be in June. Yeah. That quarter, it doesn't really have to be May.
Well, just drop the calendar on the 31st.
Where are we thinking to have that?
In Lincoln.
That would be the big thing.
In Lincoln? Okay. Thank you.
Okay, and then we weren't sure about August either, it seems.
Sorry to say, I don't know when the cruise is. I'll be on a cruise in April, in August, so.
You will?
I don't know what the dates are.
Wow. So will you know that by November?
Oh, I'll know that tonight when I get home.
Okay, so we will do August and November of next year.
At our November
meeting?
Of next year, yeah, at our November 06 meeting.
Mm-hmm. This is about your August meeting you normally want out in western Nebraska somewhere, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes.
So they need to also be thinking of location.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Kearney. We haven't been to Kearney.
That's what I was thinking, Kearney.
I don't really think of that as that far west. I mean, you know, people really...
Well, sometimes you go to Grand Island, though, too. That's not, that's even not further west.
We were just Grand Island last year, weren't we?
Yeah. But I you haven't been to... Since I've been on the board, we haven't been to Kearney.
Have we been to Hastings?
No, we haven't been in Hastings. I don't really know where we...
Nancy's house.
Okay, well, if you'll be thinking about those things, then you know at our November meeting we'll try to firm things up.
Ole's Big Game Lounge in Paxton.
Sydney, Nebraska. That would be out west.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too bad.
You have to go 2 days in advance.
Okay. There is another period for public comment, if anyone has comments.
I would just make an announcement at this point, harking back to the comments about the web. Sean Jernis and I and two others have been looking at some way of putting the recordings of the commission meetings on the website. Today, I believe we've taken the first step along that line. I've been using a PlexTalk digital recorder to record the meeting.
Mm. Yes, we're excited to see how that turns out. He used a tape, a cassette tape as a backup to make sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought I heard tape happening, an actual tape. Okay, well, that is exciting. Okay, we've also already talked about the date and location of the November meeting, and I want to once again thank everybody for coming, thank everybody who prepared the lunch, and everybody who has done setup, and of course Val for taking minutes, and Hubert for doing the Plex Talk thing, and thank you to Pearl and to all the staff for making things run the way they do, and you know, please let us know, continue to let us know things that we can do to make things continue to work well and even work better. So thank you all for coming. If there is no further business,
no big red sea in November.
Okay, yeah. We are adjourned.